Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. And today, we'd like to welcome the newest member of the Minnesota Military Radio Network to our show, and that would be from Montevideo, AM 1460 KDMA, your community connection. Started picking up the show this week, and it'll be on Sunday, once again at AM 1460 KDMA Montevideo. And for all of you listeners out there, as you're traveling through Minnesota and going to your lake homes and what have you, if you can't hear Minnesota Military Radio on your favorite station on the weekends, have them go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and contact us. We'll be happy to make the show available in your location. On today's show, we'll speak to the ESGR, that's the Employer's Support of the Guard and Reserve, about their upcoming banquet, and we'll learn about the Eagle's Healing Nest and what they're doing to help the invisible wounds of war. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
I've had the privilege to see firsthand how the work of Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon Networks is impacting the lives of our state's military families. Yellow Ribbon Networks connect and coordinate agencies, organizations, resources, and employers for the purpose of proactively supporting service members and family members. Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon Network model is successful. To continue the success of our national model for communities, we are bringing networks together in a unique way. By way of regional summits, we are asking network leaders to identify new ways to synchronize efforts by sharing their best practices. We are providing an opportunity for them to build deeper relationships and discuss future partnership opportunities. Yellow Ribbon Summits began earlier this year and have already united networks in Rochester, Bloomington, St. Cloud, and Marshall. Before summer, we'll have two more summits in Mankato and Moorhead. Yellow Ribbon Network leaders in hundreds of Minnesota communities are essential in the sustainment of the Beyond Yellow Ribbon program. Reintegration of service members and their families hits hardest and is most profound at the local level. To all of you who have rolled up your sleeves and joined your local Yellow Ribbon Network, and to those of you who are supporting military families, thank you. Thank you for your continued efforts and your steadfast dedication to those who serve and have served our country. For those of you who want to join this fantastic group of people and connect with your local Yellow Ribbon Network, start by visiting beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the ESGR, that's the Employer's Support of the Guard and Reserve, is Jim Mitchell. Jim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, I understand you're a veteran. Were you in the Minnesota National Guard?
Yes, I was. For 21 years, I served with the Minnesota Army National Guard in infantry, armor, and the artillery.
And now you're with the... You're a paid member of the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, which is made up of several permanent full-time and lots of volunteers, I understand.
Correct. Yeah, I'm the lead contractor, one of four that work full-time to help support the 140 or so vet volunteers that we have across the state of Minnesota here.
And for our listeners, can you explain what is the ESGR, Employer Support of Guard and Reserve?
Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve is actually a Department of Defense agency, again, made up of volunteers that's out there to support employers of service members of the National Guard and Reserve to help promote service members in their employment, but also make sure that the employers understand that there's laws out there to help protect their jobs while they're out doing their military duty, too.
Now, Jim, over the last couple of years, we've had on lots of members of the Minnesota National Guard and folks from the MDVA, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and lots of business owners. For the business owner to support Guard members that have been deployed so often over the last 10 years, mm-hmm. it puts a burden on them. But in Minnesota, they're doing a good job, aren't they?
Yes, they're doing an awesome job. And the biggest thing that helps with that is communication on all the fronts, the ones you named, but also the service member. Just continually making sure that that employer knows what's going on with their military duty, whether it's training, deployment, whatever the case may be. And the outreach that our volunteers are doing is helping helping stem the tide a little bit, too.
So are there some specific goals that the SGR has in terms of dealing with the employees, the Guard members, or active duty, and the employers?
Well, there's a number of things. One is, again, our outreach efforts with service members to make sure that they understand that we're out there and that there's a law out there to help them help protect their job. And then on the employer side, again, is reaching out and trying to gain their support through our through what we have as our Statements of Support program to educate those employers even more, again, about employer support of the Guard and Reserve and the laws that are out there.
So for our business owners in Minnesota, if they're not familiar with the ESGR and maybe not familiar with the rights of the soldier or service member when they deploy, can they contact you and do you go out and explain the rules and what's going on?
Oh, yes, definitely. We've got a couple of different websites. One is esgr.mil and then /Minnesota. We'll get them connected to my contact information, and then we can connect them with either ourselves or one of our volunteers can come out and visit them and give them information. We do it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have some links to the ESGR websites on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Jim Mitchell from the ESGR Employers Support of the Guard and Reserve on Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, I know that one of the things we talk about is, and I hate these acronyms, but USERRA, the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. USERRA is the acronym, but yeah, you're right. The Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act is a federal law. It's intended to ensure that persons who served are serving in the armed forces, reserves, and National Guard are not disadvantaged in their civilian careers because of their service. They're promptly reemployed upon the return of their from their duty, and they're not discriminated against in the employment process either. And those are that is a federal law that's out there since 1994 too. Do just those things, and there's both rights and responsibilities on both the soldiers and the employer side that they both need to understand what all the pieces are to it.
So, Jim, I'm curious, can you walk us through a potential deployment? Let's say we've got an employer in Mankato, and he's got an employee that's a member of the Minnesota Air National Guard, and they go off on a 6-month deployment. They'll have plenty of notice beforehand, and then they're gone for some time, and then they come back. What actually are the rights of on behalf of the employee, and how does the employer deal with that?
Well, again, the big thing is communication. We encourage all the service members, once they find out that there's duty coming up, again, no matter what it is, but deployments, hopefully they do know far in advance. But as soon as they do know about it, don't be afraid. You got to be confident and go in and let the employer know. Give them as much notice as they can so that they can plan accordingly. And once they do that, then it's, again, conversations with that employer and what's the time leading up to their deployment, what does it look like, and then what can they do to help in that transition with the service member and their family, but also what are those duties that he's doing that need to be handed off to somebody else so the employer can make that transition of his business to be as transparent as much as possible also.
And keep the business going while
exactly.
That employee is absent.
Right. And we definitely understand that these are hardships on the employer. But in the end, it's something we all have to just understand and figure out the best way to get through it because, like I said, there is a law out there that supports these service members to be able to go and do their military duty and still come back to have that job. But anything that we can all do to make that transition as seamless as possible, both in the departure and the return, is the goal.
So then when the employee comes back from the deployment and goes through a transition period, week or two, whatever it is, they're entitled to their job back?
Correct. Yep. And the and depending on the length of their deployment or their military duty, they've got timelines on when they need to report back to their employer that they're going to be wanting their job back. Most we've been dealing with is those year-long deployments that the Army Guard uses, and anything over a deployment of 181 days, that service member has 90 days to report back to their employer that they're wanting their job back. And again, that's the longest opportunity they've got. So the bottom line is, when they're coming home, again, we want them to reach out to that employer and let them know, hey, I'm soon to be home, or I'm getting home, and this is what I'm looking at as far as when I want to return to work. you know, what can we do to help make that transition as seamless as possible?
So the employee really has to do it within that time period as well, or they're not entitled to their job.
That's correct. And those timelines are put in place to basically not have that employer be held, you know, to an indefinite time frame of holding that job. So they looked at that in a sense of not holding an employer, at bay, if you will. So there is those are in place for that purpose.
Jim, we have to take a short break. When I come back, I want to talk about a couple of examples of companies that have gone the extra step to take care of not only the service member, but their families. Mm-hmm. But we have to take a short break. We're speaking with Jim Mitchell from the ESGR, Employers Support of the Guard and Reserve, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Friends, this is Don Pancake, commander of the Minnesota American Legion. As we continue our mission to train school patrols across the state, we encourage you to make a difference. Please visit legionville.org. That's legionville.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Jim Mitchell from the ESGR, Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, and discussing the rights of our service members as employees and the things that the employers do to support it and sign up and sign a support. You actually have the employers sign a document that says they're supporting this, don't you?
Correct. That's our statement of support program, and that's one of our measurements that we use to see how our volunteers are out there talking to employers and get them to understand, again, what they're what's out there for laws, but also that ESGR is out there to help them. So it's one of our outreach efforts.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I know about a year ago, it seems like you were on the show, or Paul Montine might have been on the show, and we were talking about a local wonderful company, 3M, mm-hmm. and they had won an award, and they've really gone above and beyond the call of duty here to support the service members and their troops. Can you tell us a little about that?
Right. That was 3M here, based out of St. Paul, and they were a recipient of the Department of Defense Freedom Award in 2011. And that recognition came from the fact that of the network of support that they've built within their company for service members and their families that are affiliated with the military.
And 3M actually has a group within their employees that's called the Military Support Network.
Correct, yep.
And that was initially, is my understanding, that was initially put together so that when Guard or Reserve were deployed, that the employees of 3M would pull together and support the families of those members that were deployed overseas.
Yep, and it set a great example for a lot of the other companies, and we're seeing a lot more coming on board and producing those same kind of support networks within their companies.
So they had some well-earned recognition with that Freedom Award.
Oh, definitely. That the Freedom Award's pretty stiff competition. They competed against all large companies across the nation. Each state's allowed to submit one large company nominee each year, and so they were competing against immediately 50 other large companies across the country, and came out one of five winners of that category.
So they actually had won an award at the state level, and then you submitted them for the federal award?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What was the state award?
That would be our highest state award is our Pro Patria award, and again, we honor three employers each year with that award. And that's, again, a large company, a small company, and a public sector employer.
And, Jim, you've got a annual banquet coming up. I'm assuming at the annual banquet you're going to announce the nominees or the winners of those awards from small, medium, and large?
Correct. Yep. That's when we'll make the formal announcement of those that went forward as the Freedom Award nominees this year.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Can you mm-hmm. tell us what other – I know there's some other awards that you give out just to recognize – companies that really support the Guard and Reserve.
Yeah, our basic award is called the Patriot Award, and that award is eligible for both service members and their spouses to submit. Once they do that, each year we look at all those nominations that we receive, and actually recognize about 30 to 35 of those supportive employers each year. Throughout the year, we end up between 300 and 400 Patriot Awards that we look at. And again, we glean out about the top 30, 35 of those and look at recognizing those with higher level awards. Those higher level awards, the next highest one is our Above and Beyond Award, and we usually do about 30 of those each year. And then the next one, again, is the Pro Patria Award. And the Pro Patria Award is a very distinguished award, again, that goes to those companies that have been year over year, continuously providing sustained support for both service members and their families during their military duty.
We're speaking with Jim Mitchell from the ESGR, Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, on Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, I'm as you're telling me these things, I'm visualizing you in your car just beating a path all around the state talking to just thousands of companies. How does that all work? How do you reach out to all these employers?
Well, again, we rely a great amount on our volunteer network of volunteers out there across the state. As I stated, we've got about 140 volunteers that basically we have one that represents every county, if not a couple in each county, to make sure we got that outreach effort where the service members and their families live and work is where we need to be. And if there's anybody out there that's looking for a volunteer opportunity, we've probably got room for them if they're interested in learning about us and supporting employers and service members. So keep that in mind.
Sounds like a good gig for some recently retired veterans. In case you're listening out there, get a hold of Jim Mitchell.
There you go. Thank you.
So, Jim, are you and your volunteers actually out knocking on doors and talking to business people?
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, we provide a listing that we get to our volunteers of employers that we've had a relationship with in the past as a guide to where to start. But at the same time, we've got some pretty comfortable volunteers that are willing to go out and cold call on employers and say, "Hey, you know, this is me and this is what I do, and this is Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, and what we're looking for your support." So that's what outreach is about, and luckily we got some good people out there doing it.
Has the reception been pretty warm the last 10 years or so?
Yeah, actually, you know, again, the focus has been very heavy on the military due to the deployments and high visibility of all that, and it's amazing, you know, as much of a hindrance it can be to employers. Surprisingly, we haven't had a huge increase in the number of cases of people not abiding by the law. And those that are interested in supporting and hiring veterans has certainly been picking up.
So Jim, the economy's been on its ear for a few years now. I imagine there's some service members that have come back and maybe the business went out of business, or maybe they cut back on employees. Probably some issues came up where maybe that job doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, definitely. It's been better the last couple of years, but in the mid 2000s, yeah, there was a lot of that, and that's where our efforts with the employment side of thing really kicked in to, you know, across the state. We've had a great outpouring of support through the business community and the employment services out there to try and help bridge that gap of need. So,
and the focal point for all those efforts for getting veterans rehired is positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
Right. The Department of Employment and Economic Development has got a great network of veterans employment reps out there to help service members and you know, clean up their resumes and try to wordsmith them to make them demilitarized, if you will. But it helps those veterans and service members understand that the skills that they gain in the military are certainly valuable and bring fill a lot of gaps in that employer.
I'm sure it's important to transfer some of those acronyms and military language into civilian language so the employers can understand what it was you did and what you're good at.
Right.
Jim, we just got a few minutes left. I know you've got an annual event that comes up each year. Can you tell us what's the purpose of it? Who comes? How big is it?
Yep. Our annual awards banquet, employer awards banquet, is coming up on May 20th, Monday, May 20th, at the Hilton in Bloomington. And at this banquet, we usually end up with about 450 attendees. And again, that's where we recognize those supportive employers that go above and beyond in supporting, again, both service members and their families with their military duty. And again, it's a very formal affair. The service members come in their dress attire and, you know, suit and tie for those in the business community. And we usually have a distinguished speaker from Washington that comes out as a guest speaker. We haven't got ours firmed up yet for this year, but it's usually a dignitary from the Department of Defense, and it's usually a very nice event.
So the businesses that are represented there are businesses that have signed the pledge to support the Guard and Reserve?
Right. Once they're received one of our awards that our service members nominate them for, that's usually first protocol is, you know, obviously you're supportive, so let's sign a statement of support just to affirm that, and then that again bridges our education of them on ESGR as a whole too.
So it's a nice dinner, and it's an award ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you're going to announce the large, small, and medium company that that are going to win the big awards this year.
Yes, we will do that.
And is there a keynote speaker of note this year?
Paul Montine is working on somebody. In the past, we've had the director of the National Guard that just became the chair on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General McKinley was a couple years ago. So usually it's somebody that of that stature. So it's usually a pretty good find to come and listen to.
So Paul's either going to get it done or he's going to have to do it himself, right?
Oh, he'll get it done.
I'm sure he will. Well, yeah. Now, is that open to anyone that might want to attend?
Yeah, yes, it is, very much so. Anybody that's, of course, we're going to be inviting the awardees and the nominators of those award recipients, but also it is an open invitation. Any Guard Reserve member or company that would like to come and take part in it and see what it's all about.
Well, Jim, you're doing a great job. I hope that banquet goes over well this year. Is there a website where our listeners can go to find more information on the ESGR?
Yes. The best place to go is www.esgr.mil/Minnesota. And that's our Minnesota page specifically for ESGR, and we'll be posting information out there about our banquet.
And we'll have a link up to that on our Facebook site at Minnesota Military Radio.
Awesome.
Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tom.
So Jim Mitchell from the ESGR, Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve on Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we'll learn about the Eagles Healing Nest and what they're doing to help heal the invisible wounds of war. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fellow veterans and supporters, this is Lee Alfords, Department Commander of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars, inviting you to join us for Memorial Day Ride for Healing. Proceeds will support the National Vietnam Veteran Memorial Education Center. For more information, visit rideforhealing.com.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about the Eagles Healing Nest and what they are doing to help heal the invisible wounds of war. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
The United States Congress designated March 25th of each year as the National Medal of Honor Day. Governor Mark Dayton also will proclaim tomorrow as Medal of Honor Day in the state of Minnesota. Since the Civil War, brave men and women from the state of Minnesota have answered the call to defend and protect the freedoms we hold dear, and several have gone beyond this call of duty, risking injury and loss of life. Although there are no longer any living Medal of Honor recipients in Minnesota, it is still important for us to recognize, remember, and honor each and every one of them for their valor and bravery.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Ensuring that we do not lose another generation of veterans, military members, and families, promises made and promises kept is the line that comes from Eagles Healing Nest. And joining us now is the chair, Melanie Butler, from Eagles Healing Nest. Melanie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
I understand you're part of an extended Minnesota National Guard family.
Well, we're always family in the Guards.
No, but your husband and your children.
Yes, my husband serves at Division, and my 3 sons served as well.
You've got a lot invested in the Minnesota National Guard then, don't you?
We do, 22 years.
That's a long time. And I'm assuming that relationship with the Minnesota National Guard and being a mom of the Minnesota National Guard 3 sons in the Guard had something to do with you founding Eagles Healing Nest. Can you tell us how that came to pass?
Well, it came to pass based on a promise from your generation. I promised them that I wouldn't let anyone forget, and so that we didn't lose another generation. And then as our Red Bulls were coming back and they needed love and support, we knew we had to do something. And so a bunch of moms, Mom Dorothy, the other mom of the nest, we joined hands. And with our veterans, military members, their families, and a really strong community support, and now a national support, we renovated, brought up to code, and furnished, and give our veterans and military members a place to heal with honor.
So this really is a result of all the many deployments over the last 10 or 11 years, and some moms were a little bit irritated that maybe there wasn't enough help for the returning service people, and you don't want to make moms mad, do you?
No, it's not a good thing. My husband said, are you really going to sick the Blue Star mothers out there? And I said, oh, yeah, we will. But, you know, it's not about that. It's just about giving us a place to call home and not losing anyone and being there for each other. They serve together on the battlefield. Back here, we're trained, or I was trained in the National Guard, to support each other and our families beyond the yellow ribbon, all those connections. We're just giving ourselves our own community to do that in. With the strong community support from around us.
So, Melanie, this is a big job you took on.
It is. They said it couldn't be done. And in 60 days, we were open.
And for our listeners, she's smiling. Don't ever tell her this can't be done. I think I've just learned that lesson. Where did you start? I mean, you had to raise some money. You had to find some volunteers. You had to find a facility. How did you know how much need there would be?
Well, the need has been out there from the generations before. And the motto of the nest is we don't leave anyone behind, our families, people in our community, our veterans, and they continue to serve, and it gives them purpose. So when my sons and their friends were in trouble, my house kind of became a little roost, and my husband and his battle buddies would go out as they were trained to go help their soldiers. And when my family was in trouble, I knew that we needed a solution. So I enrolled in school, and that need was too great. So then another veteran said, hey, there was somebody trying to do something in Sauk Center. Go there. Then I met Dorothy Seals, and they were looking for big, giant funders. And, yeah, those would be nice. But if we wait for those and grants, then we lose more and more.
Never get started.
So we just started what we called an extreme makeover weekend, and we just kept going.
We're speaking with Melanie Butler from Eagles Healing Nest on Minnesota Military Radio. Melanie, you brought one of your residents.
Sons.
Somebody that helped remodel and build the place, Jamie Stowe, with you today.
We did. Jamie's a veteran. Comes from a strong military family as well. I call his mom, Mom, and we all just take care of each other. They serve each other. They pick each other up. We don't turn anyone away. They treat each other as they do, as they were trained to do.
Jamie, you live there, and you're also helping some other veterans. What happens at the nest, and how did it come to be? Did you help remodel it?
Yes, I did. My mom, in her wisdom, saw that I needed help. She convinced me, threatened me. Made me come up to Sauk Center.
She did what moms do.
Yes, she did. And I saw the potential there, the ability for guys like me to have a place to heal. And I was just so awed that I was only going to come up for a couple days. I think that turned into 2 weeks, putting drywall mud on the walls and painting. Fixing ceilings, fixing railings, anything, everything I could do.
Melanie, he sounds like a handy guy to have around.
He does. He doesn't like to sand after I mud, though.
Okay. So at the nest, we're dealing with veterans that have issues with PTSD-type symptoms, those type of things?
We have veterans from every generation, and we have veterans and military members, current military members that come. They don't have to be living at the nest to come and utilize the resources. This past Monday, we actually got together a group of people, other organizations that provide services. So we're just the moms of the nest, and we're board and lodge with special services and board and lodge. But we bring in other organizations to help them with mental health issues, addiction, natural health, recreation. We partnered with Outdoors with Heroes. They take our guys fishing. Patriot Assistant Dogs is assisting us as well. We just give them, if you give them the tools, they can do it. We don't send them into combat with all the tools they need and tell them they can't complete a mission, because they will.
So, Melanie, you're dealing with some of our homeless vets and some of our vets that might be suicidal, some of the vets that have other issues. We're going to have Mac V on in a week or two and talk about the stand downs around the state. It seems like in the 40-some years since I came back from Vietnam, there are a lot of services, a lot of organizations out there to help, but there's some people that have fallen through the cracks, aren't there? Some homeless and some folks that are having real issues from their service to the country.
Right. We have a multitude. I do the Vets for Vets stand down in Montana for 5 years. That number gets increasingly higher, although this past year we've seen families that all they have is each other. That's what they're trying to hold on to. So every generation has issues, but they all find a common denominator in their service. Us as family members also have that, and we want them healthy and to find a new normal, but we want them safe. And so they do that. They reach out to each other. They find purpose. I think some of the most memorable things when we remodeled, when the veterans would come, they'd walk in the dining room door, because that's how you enter at grandma's house and you smell cooking,
the food. Sure.
The food, and they would say that they were home and they would cry. And to see, we've had veterans connect. Mom Dorothy actually met someone that she signed his papers to go over to Vietnam. That was a pretty emotional reunion. But they connect with each other and they find purpose and hope.
Jamie, how many buildings are open now and how many veterans can you take care of?
See, we got two buildings that we can live in. Third one, hopefully, in 2 months. Besides the horse stables with six horses and chickens, we can have up to 30. 200? Right now, as it stands,
35.
35 in the two buildings. And then we're going to add another, hopefully, 12 more rooms in the next building.
So are you interacting with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War, all of them?
Definitely.
And everybody's getting along just fine?
Well, you know, there's always the inter-service rivalry.
Oh, that's just fun, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It's got to be, right?
There's always a Marine in the room somewhere, isn't there?
I got to make fun of the Air Force guys, too. I mean, they got it so easy. Come on.
Pick on the host. Where's that in the script? Very good. I like it. Melanie, back to you. We just got a couple of minutes left. How big is this going to get, and what do you need? How can our listeners help? Do you need volunteers? Do you need money? Where are you headed with this?
Well, ultimately, we hope to purchase the property, and it's not for anyone but the veterans. The trust is built up. Jamie serves on that trust, and the trust is built of veterans from the different eras, so it will be theirs forever to have a place to call home. They'll take care of it. They'll run it. So that they always have a home. They'll be able to house 200 when it's done and be self-sustaining, but we can always use volunteers. It's all been done on volunteers and small donations. So
it's all private donations?
Absolutely.
No government money so far?
None.
And the website is eagleshealingnest.com. We'll have a link up to that on our Facebook website. Melanie, you're doing a great job. Any final thoughts for us about the Eagles Healing Nest?
Just watch us grow and take care of our veterans. They've done their duty.
Make sure we don't lose another generation.
Absolutely.
Jamie, you sound like you're enjoying it there. You're probably a permanent fixture. Any final thoughts for our veterans if they're seeking help? Is this a good place for them to go?
Absolutely. If you can beg, borrow, or steal your way to Sauk Center, we've got a place for you. We've got a home for you.
Don't steal your way, but you can hitchhike if
you want.
That's
okay. We'll pay it back when they get there.
All right. Jamie, you're doing great, too. I want to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Melanie Butler and Jamie Stowe from the Eagles Healing Nest on Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to learn about the upcoming Patriot Ride. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Jeff Good. Jeff, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Jeff, I understand you're a veteran. Can you tell us about your military career?
I am, Tom. I spent 3.5 years in the Army. I was kind of back in the day, maybe not as far back as you, but I got out as an E-5 sergeant. I was a cannon cocker on field artillery.
Well, another soldier in our midst. It seems like I have him here all the time.
Well, it's a good thing.
But that's all right. Jeff, tell me, how did you get involved in the Minnesota Patriot Guard and when?
It was back in 2006, shortly after the war had started on terror. My wife and I sitting around watching the news, and it started with the protesters, and I really don't even like to talk about them because it's gotten to be so much more, but I didn't feel it was right, and I wanted to stand up and do something about it and let the families know that there's people out there that care, and then we've been involved ever since.
So originally, for our listeners that might not know, the protesters, I think, were out in Nebraska, and they were going to funerals of our killed in action military and protesting, and there's a group of motorcyclists, I don't know exactly how it started, but they lined up with their flags and actually insulated the family from those protesters.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They actually formed out of Kansas, but it was a group of the Legion Riders that stood up and said, this is not right, this is not what our forefathers believed in as far as freedom of speech, and so they decided to do something about it, and it was disrespectful to our fallen heroes, and that's again what got my wife and Deb and I involved, but it's grown to be so much more than that. The organization has turned into be more of about honor, dignity, and respect, and you know, with this state being the great state that we are, and started with Governor Pawlenty extending the boundaries of what they could come into during a funeral, and again, we don't even talk about their non-factor. It's turned into be the Minnesota Patriot Guard about honoring our fallen soldiers and supporting those families.
And today there's thousands of riders that are part of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, aren't there?
That's right, Tom. We've got over 5,000 members involved with the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and that's statewide. And it's part of a national organization, and it's a great group of people. And one of the things that oftentimes people, well, I don't own a motorcycle, you know, I wasn't a veteran, you know, how can I get involved? And, you know, we have no parameters as far as you don't have to ride a motorcycle. You didn't have to serve our country. It's all about supporting our military members and supporting their families. And we welcome people from all walks to get involved. We don't get involved in politics or, you know, we don't care what religious background you come from. It's the one common thread that binds us together is that we have a mutual respect for our military members serving our country.
So if any of our listeners want to help honor our military, they can go to mnpatriotguard.org, and so long as they've got a good heart, a flagpole, and a flag, they can join one of the riders for the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
That's correct, Tom.
Now, this has grown into something amazing. We've had we get our monthly reports from Doug Bly and now Ernie Johnson on, and there's about 500 missions a year. Can you tell us what those are involved?
We have, as you mentioned, we do over 500 missions, and we refer to a mission, you know, the unfortunate ones, you know, to honor our fallen is part of our mission. But more importantly, we also do welcome homes, send-offs. We do different dedications. So it's not only let's face it, to attend a funeral of a fallen hero it's a very humbling event to take part in, but it's also very important to those families that their loved one wasn't lost in vain, and that we stand for them in honor, dignity, and respect. But the joyful ones for the return homes, when we see the smile of a young boy or a young girl seeing their father or their brother come home from a deployment is, you know, it's words cannot describe it. It's just very heartwarming.
And we've had countless military folks on from the Minnesota National Guard that have witnessed the Minnesota Patriot Guard there, sending them off and welcoming them home and proving that we don't forget in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
So if anybody wants to join, all you have to do is go to the website, mnpatriotguard.org, and sign up, and you'll start getting emails about the missions, and off they go. We're visiting with Jeff Good on the ride committee for the Patriot Ride and a member of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Well, Jeff, before we get too carried away and use up all our time, there's a big annual event coming up. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, this is our largest fundraiser for the year. It's June 15th. This will be our eighth annual charity ride. And as I said, this is our biggest fundraiser for the year for the Minnesota Patriot Guard. And we raise about $100,000 each year that is donated back to our Minnesota veterans. And it's a great day. We have an event that takes place in Lions Park, located out of Ham Lake. And we have different vendors. We have about 2,000 motorcycles that participate in the ride. Even if you don't ride, it's about supporting our veterans. We have guest speakers that participate in the event. And we do different activities throughout the day. So, as I said, even if you don't ride a motorcycle and participate in the ride, there are things to see and do at the park.
You know, we recorded a show up there from your ride last year.
That's right.
It was kind of a dark, gloomy day, but I don't think I've ever seen that many motorcycles in one place in my life. Wow.
Yeah, despite the weather forecast with rain, and unfortunately we've had rain the last 2 years, so this year we're going to be blessed with a no rain, knock on wood. But yeah, it's amazing. The people that show up to support, we have the families, Gold Star families that come and participate in the event, and do about a 75-mile ride. And we have a memorial piece of the ride that's very moving. So for all you riders out there that have not been able to participate in a great cause for a ride, this is the ride you don't want to miss out on.
You know, I think we talked to Tim Leinhart last week, and he was at the beginning of the ride last year. And about the time he got to the halfway point, he called back, and there were still riders leaving Ham Lake.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's an organized ride, so for the novice rider that might be fearful and riding a group, it's what we call a true group ride, supported by law enforcement, and it's a very safe ride. There's no alcohol served at the park prior to the ride, so it's just a good ride for a great cause, and we encourage folks to come out and partake in the event for the day.
It was really well organized, and the information for that ride is at thepatriotride.org. thepatriotride.org. We'll have a link to that on our Facebook website. Jeff, we just got about a minute left. Minnesota Patriot Guard, the Patriot Ride, you guys do such wonderful work honoring all of our service members and our KIA, and then you raise money and you help our service members to boot. Wow, what an organization.
Well, thanks, Tom. We don't feel that we do anything that is special. We feel this is the soldiers and the families that make the sacrifices, just a little bit that we can give back, and it really is it's a labor of love, and we enjoy supporting our military members and their families.
And it's important, and it's well appreciated by our service members, I'm sure.
Well, it's quite our honor.
Once again, if you want to sign up to be a Patriot Guard rider, it's mnpatriotguard.org, and if you'd like to go on a wonderful ride or just go up and see all those motorcycles and all the noise they make when they take off, go to thepatriotride.org. Jeff, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
That was from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Jeff Good, on the ride committee for the Patriot Ride. Once and one more time, thepatriotride.org. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jim Mitchell, Melanie Butler, Jeff Good, Commissioner Larry Shelato from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we visit with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber about his recent trip to Iraq, and we'll find out what Month of the Military Child means here in Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.